Things you won't hear in a gardening program.
If you're into naked gardening, here's a tip. Be careful what you do with the shears.
And that, folks, is how you get rid of a body.
Not only that, somebody has been sneaking into the allotment and putting topsoil on the ground. The plot thickens.
Last year, I couldn't be bothered to dig up my garden, so I phoned up Time Team and told them I'd just found a Roman coin.
And now, over to our lawnmower expert, Stumpy Jeff. Hi, guys!
David here has got some nice buddleia, and Jemima there, she's got some nice hydrangea, and I've got chlamydia.
Well, that's it for this week. I'm off home to plant my seeds. My wife's ovulating and I don't want to miss my slot.
Live from the beautiful Showcase Studios on South Pulaski Road, just across the street from the 53A bus stop and in between Paco's Tacos and Zaka Tacos, it's The Mike Novak Show, Chicago's only locally broadcast green, gardening, and environment program. Heard every Sunday right here on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM.
Good planets are hard to find. Temperate zones and tropic climes. True currents and thriving seas. Wind blowing through breathing trees. Strong ozone and safe sunshine. Well, good planets are hard to find. Good planets are in the main.
This hour of the Mike Novak Show is brought to you by The Care of Trees, our business's people and their love for trees, and by Sid's Greenhouses, Chicagoland's premier garden centers, and by Back to Nature Compost. Life doesn't start with the seed, it starts with the soil. He's the best thing to happen to the environment since the solar-powered hamster wheel. Great. Now he's putting hamsters out of business. Here he is, Mike Novak.
Oh, those crazy Brits. They are funny people, aren't they?
They are wit.
They are. And quick. Oh, they just come up. That's one of those. That's the show that's like, Whose Line Is It Anyway?
That's what I thought it was when I was.
Yeah, it's an improv show where they just send them up there and make them say funny stuff. Point a finger at them. Be funny.
Yeah, I would just pass out.
That's Mark Munger. He's in. We are Heatherless today. You know, she takes more days off than Ed Schultz. does she have a TV show on MSNBC too?
She must.
Yeah, because
she's going to leave it soon, though. She's going to walk out.
Oh, well, she called somebody a nasty name. They're going to suspend her for a week.
She donated to her favorite party.
True. But there are a lot of reasons to get you suspended. A lot of things will get you suspended in MSNBC right now, right?
They're very strict.
Well,
she's got a lot of things.
Somebody
going
should
on.
Be.
She's got her fireman. She's got her kid.
You're not supposed to. She's got her fireman.
I'm going to air her laundry while we're.
Okay. Yes. Heather's off. Mark Munger's here. And he brought his sister so he could. Katie's here so that she can sit on the other side of the room and
play
with her apps on the phone or cell phone.
Having somebody to ride the train down here with.
Well, that's good.
It changes everything.
A ton of stuff. As always, we are on Facebook. We are on Twitter. Go to MikeNovak.net. Click on this week's show. I spend a lot of time writing these things. Too much time. If you don't read them, I'm going to cry. So make sure you do that. On the program today, boy, you know, this time of year, there's tours, there's events, there's news about different things going on. I'm going to try to get to all of it this morning. I guess I have to start with Green on McLean. And last week, you weren't here, Mark, but I talked about how on Memorial Day, Monday, the 30th, the people in my neighborhood were going to be putting a community garden together. We'd been planning it, plotting it, I guess. I'm just as funny as those British guys, huh?
You shouldn't be on that show.
Oh, no, please. I think I'd pass out, too. but I don't even know how to say this without sounding corny. It came together in a remarkable way, and it continues to come together. We spent 4 hours in ridiculous heat. I've never seen so many red-faced people in my life. And, you know, most of them needed oxygen, the people my age. But there were young kids there too. Hey, you young kids, grab a shovel.
Yeah, make them do the digging.
That's it. Builds if you character. Were there, that you would, I would hand a shovel to you.
I'm not that young.
Oh, yes, you are.
I'm older than
you may
I'm
be,
too old to shovel.
You may be old emotionally or spiritually, but I would hand you,
I think
I would hand you a pick and a saw is what I would do. And the biggest tool I could get, it would just, okay, now dig, do something here, create something. So we all get out on my block at the end of the block. About 25 people showed up. And it was the most amazing thing. Not just because we did this on Monday and we got about 4 plots finished. And if you go to my website, mikenovak.net, and you can go to, I think we've got it. I have to check because I don't even remember. On the homepage, there's a picture up on the right-hand side. That's Seamus with the hat on there, who was on the program a couple of weeks ago from Root Riot Urban Garden Network. And he came by to help us. And then if you go to the middle of the page, you will see our friend Mac Austin and a bunch of kids at the Green and McLean. If you click on that picture, it will take you to our blog site, which we hope people will go to because Webmaster Kathleen has put together a really cool video of the first several work days at Green on McLean. Now, what's really kind of funny about our site and our community garden is that we didn't have wood to do the frames for the garden beds. So we didn't care. We just were going to mound. It's actually something I learned from Chad Bliss, who was with, and I'm blanking on the name of his garden that was in Chicago, Cobb Connection. And they did it that way. They didn't use the frames. Frames are for sissies. We're real urban pioneers here. And we laid down cardboard because, you know, there's lead that you have to worry about when you're doing community gardens. There's lead in the soil. I did, as you know, I've tested it in my yard, and I'm like 5 doors down, and it was you know, enough to construct, make bullets.
Proof on that.
Yeah, exactly. There's a Superman has nothing on me. wait, what's the thing with? You could put kryptonite in the soil, and Superman would not have any problems.
He would still be able to fly over.
That's right, exactly. Fly over my yard. He wouldn't drop right into my yard,
which is good.
And so we did these beds, and we found these planters behind Joanne Fabrics. Out not too far away. I know, it sounds goofy. But they were sitting on, they were tossing them.
That's some story. Nobody's going to believe that. You found them.
We found
them behind Joanne Fabrics.
Like 10 of these planters.
I don't know, officer. I just found it behind Joanne
Fabrics.
No,
you got to understand. They're made of 2x4s, and they're painted black. And since we have these mounds in there, and there's no frames to them, and then we have these. If you go to the blog site, Green on McLean there, and you see these next to the beds, it looks like we created a cemetery. It looks like we buried bodies, and then we put these markers around them that we should have candles in. It's kind of tombstone-y-ish. Tombstone-esque, I guess. But we'll figure it out. We're still working on the design. The design will be very organic, like everything else with the garden. We're just planting things. We don't know what the allotments are. We don't know who's going to get what yet. But we cannot. You cannot believe the people who come by every day and say, gosh, your garden's pretty. Gosh, it looks nice. You know, because this is a neighborhood where this was a weed-infested, trash, littered plot, gangs hung out there. See in the background where the cemetery?
It does look like a cemetery.
Our community. See, this is a warning to the gangs in the neighborhood. You will end up under one of those plots.
You will be fertilizer.
We don't use fish fertilizer. We use gang fertilizer.
That's right. We have the sweetest tomatoes.
It's an old Italian trick.
Yeah, that's the secret to the sauce, I'll tell you.
And we're still working on it. We got another work day today in the evening because I have a radio show. I said, no, you can't do this without me. I got to be there. So we're going to do it in the evening, lay down some more plots, plant some ornamentals. We still got a ton of stuff to do. We've got carrot trees has brought in more mulch. Good on the carrot trees. What great people. They have given us a couple of piles of mulch for free. And if I said, hey, bring in some more, they probably would. I don't know where they get it. You know, they're always chopping stuff. They always have extra. So I appreciate that. And of course, Lake Street Landscape Supply gave us that. We bought it, but they gave us a real good price on the soil. And the merchants in the neighborhood, we just went around and said, hey, you want to support our garden? You can put a sign in the window. You know, and Mac and Kathleen went around, and before they would even finish the sentence, they'd be handing over a sawbuck. How cool is that? And so the people in the neighborhood are very excited. And as I said last week, it's very vulnerable. We have no fences. We even put the hose out there, this old hose, because I had a couple of old hoses that they're really hard to recycle. So I've just been holding on to them. I didn't know what to do with them because they got PVC and they got the lead in the brass fittings and so forth. I said, okay, I'm not going to throw this into a landfill. Well, I don't even want to water with them, really. But if you run the water through it, it really mitigates that. Lead's everywhere, you know that? It's just amazing.
Yeah, it's incredible. How did it get everywhere? I know there's a
well, there's a certain amount of it in background. Yeah. You know, like anywhere between 20 to 50 parts per million, just background in soil. But you know, in my yard, it's like over 1,000 parts per million. So I've been eating the soil and bulking up.
Yeah.
No.
So
actually, that's something you want to know about if you're gardening in the city of Chicago or even in the suburbs. Get a soil test, not just for lead. Lead would be a really good thing. But also, you want to know what the phosphorus levels are, what the potassium levels are, what the other micronutrients are. I found out my phosphorus level's really, really high. And, you know, phosphorus and nitrogen leach into our waters and go into lakes and streams. And I've got an article on this week's show about how the dead zone. Well, I will get to it. I'll talk about it. The dead zone in the Gulf of Mexico is going to set a record this year.
Oh, that's exciting.
Woohoo! Dead zone.
Yeah. It's pretty active for being dead.
Yeah, really. Well, we got the dead zone in our garden. It looks like the tombstone's there. But the dead zone's going to set a record, and it's all about phosphorus and nitrogen. Creating algae blooms, and we'll get to that in a second. So it kind of freeform today, 773-838-9278. We've got other folks, Hosta happening up at Rich's Fox Willow Pines next Saturday. We'll talk to Rich and Susie Ayer in a little bit. Benjamin Cox, executive director of the Friends of the Forest Preserves, will be here. They had a victory this past week over a gun club that was trying to shoot over a forest preserve. Which sounds kind of goofy, but it looks like it won't happen. Gina Lettier from Loyola University is going to be on the program in our Sustainable Food Fundamentals, brought to you by Healthy Grow at Pearl Valley Organics. And she's going to be talking about what we believe, and we're not sure, and you can call and correct us, again, 773-838-9278, but we think this is the first farmer's market that has been established by a university in the Chicago area up at Loyola, and it opens tomorrow on Monday. The Glenwood Market, Sunday Market, opens today. So if you're on your way there, I hope, you know, they should have radios on there listening to my show at the Glenwood Market and all the markets in the city. I was coming here today, passed by the Logan Square Market. I don't even want to go into that because there was a threat of it being canceled. It got political earlier this year. I mean, you know, do I get to name names?
Why did they want to cancel it? Who wanted to cancel it?
Because the alderman didn't like the fact that the guy at the Chamber of Commerce had apparently done some campaigning for his opponent at the Logan Square Farmers Market, so he was going to shut it down.
Yeah. That's a good attitude.
Nimrod.
That guy deserves to be in
political
office
hack.
Of power. Yeah.
Jeez. All right. Let's take care of some business. And again, give us a holler. 773-838-9278. You know, this might be a good time to hear from Amtrak Tim, too, because he keeps trying to call. And he's always, when I'm loaded with guests. Now, I bet he's on vacation. Now that I've got a little time for him here, but...
He's probably riding the California Zephyr somewhere.
It's possible, but there's good news going on in the state of Illinois with high-speed rail. And, you know, I'm happy to take Florida's money, really. It's like, you guys don't want it? I'll take Wisconsin's money. Hey, you guys don't want high-speed rail? Send it here. Send it here. We in Illinois, we'd love to have that money, you know? What a weird country we live in.
I know.
I don't get it sometimes. All right. Arr! Can you give me an arr? Arr!
Arr!
There we go. Ahoy, mateys. Throw pests overboard with Captain Jack's Dead Bug Brew. And you can do it organically. This brew from Bonide contains spinosad, which is derived from naturally occurring soil bacterium. The bacterium was collected from an abandoned rum distillery on a Caribbean island in 1982, defined as a new species, and hasn't been found in nature anywhere else in the world since. Spinosad is now a pesticide used worldwide in the production of organic produce. Spray Captain Jack's Dead Bug Brew directly on the insect or on your plant to guard against chewing and sucking insects like bagworms, moths, loopers, leaf miners, thrips, and more. It's safe to use on vegetable gardens, annuals, perennials, berries, shrubs, and fruit trees. But as I always tell you, please practice RAFLD, read and follow label directions. I got to laugh. We have this commercial running here on the station, and Heather gives the initials, but they're completely wrong. She's like ROFLD or something like that. It's very strange. Anyway, read and follow label directions. You can get Captain Jack's Dead Bug Brew at Flowerwood Garden Center in Crystal Lake, Illinois, Busy Bee Garden Center in Glenwood, Illinois, Kelly Seed in Peoria, Illinois, or go to Bonide.com to find a retailer near you or to see a complete listing of all of the Bonide Garden Naturals.
Make this your best gardening season yet. Hi, I'm Melinda Myers, horticulturist and gardening expert. Invest a bit of time now to ensure a bountiful harvest and beautiful landscape throughout the season. And include Milorganite, eco-friendly all-purpose fertilizer, as part of your formula for success. Use Milorganite organic nitrogen fertilizer in all your planting beds. The low nitrogen, slow release formula makes Milorganite goof-proof and good for the environment. So choose Milorganite for better results naturally. Available wherever garden supplies are sold.
Thank you, Melinda Myers. Let me tell you about Pearl Valley Eggs, an Illinois family-owned farm that does it right. Dave Thompson, the founder of Pearl Valley Eggs, got into the egg business years ago, almost by accident. Kind of on track, but kind of by accident. He was a school teacher, and he wanted to show his students where chickens and our food come from. The rest is history. Actually, the history a little bit, you know, he brought the chickens in and showed the kids, and then they laid eggs and created more chickens and laid more eggs, and he realized, I've got all these chickens and eggs, and maybe I should start a business. And that's exactly what he did. Now, I've gone to the Pearl Valley Eggs Farm, and it's really cool to learn how they aerobically compost chicken manure and straw to create the organic Healthy Grow fertilizer. Pearl Valley Eggs and Healthy Grow fertilizer are sustainability in action. The chickens are raised on site, produce superior quality eggs, and then help create an organic fertilizer. Healthy Grow lawn and garden food is available at garden centers throughout the Chicago area. And please, when you go to the grocery store, insist on Pearl Valley Eggs where you shop. In fact, you should do a comparison between Pearl Valley Eggs and the ones you're buying now. I think you're going to be amazed by the superior quality of the Pearl Valley product. Food is essential to life. If you want a quality life, you need quality food for you and your garden. Learn more about it at healthygrow.com. That's healthygro.com. And Amtrak Tim called. We'll get to him in about 60 seconds here. See, ask and ye shall receive. It's time for Dr. Wally's Tip of the Week, Part 1, brought to you by Pesci's Garden Center in Des Plaines. Wally likes Dr. Earth Liquid Solution Concentrate 333. That's the nitrogen, phosphorus, potassium. The Dr. Earth Liquid Solution Concentrate, an all-purpose organic fertilizer for use on all plants, including fruits and vegetables, trees, shrubs, flowering ornamentals, container plants, and turf. Liquid Solution is designed to enhance plant growth and correct micronutrient deficiencies. Wally gives his veggie plants a foliar application a few times during the growing season, especially early in the season and when the flowers start turning into fruit. Foliar feeding, that means putting it on the leaves, can give plants a direct boost of nutrients through their leaves. He uses a 1 gallon pump sprayer to apply a super fine mist. The finer the spray, the more absorption. Also spray the undersides of the leaves. The best time is in the early morning or the late afternoon when temperatures are mild and wind is minimal. Make sure the plants are well watered the day before. We'll have part two of Wally's Tip of the Week next hour. Pesci's Garden Center is just minutes off of I-294 at 170 South River Road in Des Plaines. Find them online at Pesci's.com, P-E-S-C-H-E-S.com. Pesci's, 3 generations of attentive service, expert advice, and uncompromising quality.
Precious time to slip away, 'cause you're only king for a day. Doesn't matter to which God you pray. Precious time to slip away.
It's the Mike Novak Show on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM. Good morning. Welcome to June. It's summer. We'll talk to Rick DeMaio about, you know, as they say, meteorological summer. And it really has turned into summer in the last week, so it's kind of interesting how we went from May to June, and that happens a lot. I notice on the Twitter, we've got Zan, who's baking this morning. She usually does during the show. Rhubarb cranberry bread. Zan, I want some of that. Mark, would you run and get that for me, please?
No problem.
I know that. And Forever Flavor in New York is listening. So shout out there. We're gonna bust New York. We're gonna take over that town. One listener at a time. Wow, that's a hard way to do that. Let's go to line one. Amtrak Tim is with us. How you doing, Amtrak Tim?
Doing fine. Yeah, long time no talk, huh?
It has been. And I know I always notice you call and you always get things in, and I appreciate it. And sometimes I have the time and sometimes I don't. I got a little time today, so have at it, pal. I saw that not only are we trying to do the 110 mile per hour trains, but we're trying to get 220?
220 line in.
Yeah. How cool is that?
That's awesome, because then at that point you now make it more time effective and cost effective than flying.
Yeah, you know, 110, it would make a difference, but it ain't 220.
Yeah, well,
they say that about electricity too, I think, but
yeah, well, my feeling is that at 110 is they should try to make the entire system 110, because then you have good service everywhere and at a very low cost, because it's going to cost a lot of money to get a 220, to be very honest.
Really? Do you have to redo the whole track system or what?
It's dedicated individual track and new train equipment. The thing, what people need to realize about 110 equipment is that the equipment that we have right now at Union Station, sitting there, you know, doing the slow runs up to Milwaukee and the slow runs down to Carbondale, can do 210 right now. But it's never been given the chance.
No, really? Those engines can do 210?
And the cars behind them.
Well, I would hope so. It doesn't do us any good just to have the engines running 210.
That's true. No, actually, the cars, the single-level cars are actually rated at 125.
Okay.
But the thing is, So the cost, the infrastructure cost to get to 110 is very low. All it is simply putting the safety equipment and upgrading the track. That's all it is. And our freight railroad friends would benefit tremendously because 110 rated passenger service is also rated freight at 80 miles an hour. So it also will benefit our friends in the Union Pacific Railroad, the BNSF, you know, the CSX. They'll all benefit too, by the way.
What do they run freight at now?
No, they run freight at about 60 to 35, depending on how good the track is.
Uh-huh. Well, that's kind of the deal, isn't it? Isn't it? It's mostly infrastructure. We haven't paid attention to our tracks in way too long.
Well, since World War II, basically.
Oh, well, in that case.
Well, just as an example, in Otomo, Iowa, there was in the stimulus, the first stimulus bill that went through, one of the things that was in there was actually putting in an automatic switcher at Otomo, Iowa, from 18, I think it was 70, up until last year. Mm-hmm. The engineer had to get, or someone had to get out of the train, go and manually throw a switch. What year is it, Mike?
It's 1986.
I mean, it's just crazy.
Well, wait. Insane. You know what my response to that is?
Oh, that's nasty.
And so, actually, speaking of things that are nasty, something actually is going to happen to me next week.
What's that?
The Texas Eagle is completely sold out. I'm going to have to fly somewhere.
No.
It's tearing me to shreds. I'm actually going to have to get on the Dirty Bird because the train is sold out.
Dirty Bird, won't you fly me away, Dirty Bird?
And just to give you a food update, I just took a trip. Was it 2 weeks ago down to New Orleans? I was visiting my sales rep down there, and of course on the city of New Orleans. And the ribs are excellent. If you guys, anybody that needs a food recommendation for Amtrak, the barbecued ribs are excellent.
Cool. Hey, you know what though? I'm going to get my I wouldn't do it, but there are people out there who would take a picture of you on an airplane and then tweet it. You know, it'd be kind of like the wiener thing, representative. You know, it's like, oh, here's a picture of Amtrak Tim on a plane.
Well, I have to do it from time to time. It's actually the Texas Eagle is an excellent excellent run, but it was sold out, and the City of New Orleans has been sold out. I haven't been able to get bedrooms on the Lakeshore Limited in ages. Mm-hmm. If anybody tells you that no one's riding the train, hasn't checked the passenger loading in the last year or two.
Well, you know, I haven't traveled anywhere in about 100 years, so I don't even know what the comparison is right now between train travel and plane travel. Is train travel competitive at the moment?
Oh, it blows it away. I flew down to New Orleans. I compared flying.
Busted!
My boss makes me say, hey, Tim, is this, what are the price differences? I can show him anywhere from $100 to $200 cheaper. And that's in one leg of it, taking a roomette.
You know, it's almost like and you notice this, too. It's the middle class. And lower income people, they're on the train. The real people in America are riding the train. And I noticed that 20 years ago. I mean, you ride the train and, you bump into people, you talk. And that's the other thing about riding the train. You talk to people. You don't talk to people on airplanes except to the person, maybe the one right next to you.
Maybe.
But on the train, you get up, you go to the club car, you meet people, their kids.
And for people all over the world, too.
Yeah.
I'm on the leg back coming on the city of New Orleans. I sat next to I had lunch with a woman who was from New Zealand, who was doing what they call the Great Circle. She's going to Chicago, New Orleans, Los Angeles, to up to Seattle, back to Chicago.
Let me ask you a real quick question, and I got to let you go. Maglev, is whatever happened to that?
It's insanity, and I hope this country never invests in it.
Oh, really? Is it? It doesn't work.
It's one of those things. It's kind of like how to describe it. It's kind of like the Concorde. It has the possibility, but it's so cost prohibitive as to make it not practical.
Hmm. All right.
High speed.
Hey, yeah, but yeah, you know, Tim. Okay, so we know it's not going to happen, maglev, because if you say it's high cost, I mean, we won't even pay.
This from Amtrak, Tim.
Yeah, I know, and we won't even pay for the infrastructure we have now. We won't even fix the infrastructure we have now because our politicians are so short-sighted and have no sense of what's good for the country. It's so yeah, you know, so I can see where maglev would be total pie in the sky, even if it did work.
Well, my feeling is, you know, a lot of people in the 110 first, get 110 everywhere in the system, then on and selected routes shoot for the 220. I think Governor Quinn is exactly on the right track and deserves a lot of support and thanks.
Well, yeah, I'm happy that every time I turn around, I see that he's doing something else with the high-speed rail. So he's really aggressive in that regard, isn't he?
Yeah, and I want to see, like, I would like to see the guys at Talgo reward the state of Illinois and make the production facility here.
That would be great.
They've already decided that the facility they built up in Wisconsin, because of the lack of support, let's leave it at that, are going to turn that into a maintenance facility, and they're looking for a new site for manufacturing.
Well, wouldn't
so
it
the
be,
question is,
yeah.
This state is the most logical place state to put it because you have both political parties support train travel in this state. And it's been that way historically. It's the place to put it.
Wouldn't it be great if Illinois became the rail capital of the country? That would be awesome.
It already is. It just needs to be the rail capital also of passenger service.
Yeah. Well, that let's bring all of it in. All right, Amtrak Tim, great talking to you, buddy. I'm sorry you got to fly.
Yeah,
just,
that's going to bum me out.
Just hold your nose and do it, and you'll be fine. Don't breathe any of the air in those planes. You know what that's like.
I know. I'll talk to you later, Mike.
All right, take care. Here's a tip from the Care of Trees. Damage and destruction caused by insects and diseases can severely limit the ability of trees and shrubs in your landscape to manufacture the sugars and substances needed to remain healthy. As a tree's health suffers and declines, the odds for defoliation and death sharply increase. Trees that are already in poor health are more susceptible to insects and diseases, so a tree in general good condition will be less likely to be victimized. A certified arborist from the Care of Trees can evaluate your trees to identify any damage or signs of early disease and explain options available for managing the health of your trees. Make the Care of Trees your permanent partner in enhancing the value of your landscape. Whether you want to make sure all is well with the trees in your yard or you're changing your landscaping, invite the certified arborist at the Care of Trees to take a look. See thecareoftrees.com or call 847-394-4220, 847-394-4220, the Care of Trees, my buddies, great people. Their businesses, people, and their love for trees. Speaking of trees and diseases and insects, I went out to Spring Bluff Nursery to do a talk yesterday, which was a lot of fun. What a great place. You got to go out there in Kane County. It's kind of isolated out there. And go to the link is on my website, and I think it's just springbluff.com. I was talking to Tim. Who is the manager there and owner, and Tim Norris and his brother Ken, who run the place, and he was showing me all the places where they had cut down ash trees because they just got hit with emerald ash borer. The good news is that, you know, enables them to plant different varieties of trees, and they're doing that, and you know that's what's going to happen a lot. And we chatted a little bit about that. Of course, where the trees were was the shade garden, so not so shady anymore. You have to scramble sometimes, but they're replacing them. But if you get a chance, go out to Spring Bluff Nursery. They were wonderful. They've got a couple of events coming up: photographing your garden on June 25th. That's Saturday. Girls' Night Out, July 21st. You might want to head out there. And all they ask is bring some canned goods. And that's what I did. And that's what the other folks did who showed up yesterday. So I want to thank the good folks, Tim and Ken, and the staff out there. They were fabulous. And I'm looking forward to getting out that way again.
I love gardening. What I don't love to see is deer and rabbits destroy my beautiful plants.
Why let your garden be destroyed? Plant Skid Repellent protects your garden, trees, and landscaping from wildlife damage. Made in the USA from 100% organic environment and pet-friendly ingredients, Plant Skid is the number one, most tested, most effective, and longest-lasting deer and rabbit repellent you can buy. It lasts up to 6 months over winter and 3 to 4 months during the active spring-summer growing season. Unlike other repellents, Plant Skid will not wash off in the rain and is guaranteed to outlast and outperform all other repellents. Plant Skid is OMRI-listed organic and is proven effective protection from deer, rabbits, squirrels, and other small rodents. That's why Plant Skid is used by leading forest companies, nurseries, and conservation agencies, and is member-tested and recommended by the National Home Gardening Club. Locate a dealer nearest you at PlantSkid.com. Proven plant protection. Guaranteed, or your money back.
Plant Skid. That's spelled plant, S-K-Y-D-D. Plant Skid.
Hey, what happens when you apply high-quality organic ingredients to your soil and vegetable plants? That's right, you get high-quality vegetables. Dr. Earth has you covered from planting the harvest. Start with their probiotic planting mix. Add some tomato, vegetable, and herb fertilizer. Actually going to throw some of that down in the Green on McLean Community Garden this afternoon. And take down insects with Dr. Earth's all-organic fruit and vegetable insect spray. Doctor your earth with Dr. Earth, the multivitamin for your garden. Sold only at local independent garden centers. Go to drearth.com to find a dealer near you and like them on Facebook at Dr. Earth Organic Products.
Want to make a positive move in the housing market? Replace your siding and windows. You'll improve your home's look and energy efficiency, too.
Trust DR Services Unlimited, 847-998-1687 for your remodeling and energy needs. Siding, windows, solar and wind power, and more. Rated A-plus by the Better Business Bureau and recommended on Angie's List. DR is a proud member of NARI. DR provides exceptional quality at a fair price. Contact DR at 847-998-1687 or at RestoreTheNorthShore.com.
Now here's something really special going on this coming Saturday, June 11th, at Sid's Greenhouses and Garden Center. They're having another potting party, and you're invited. This is the perfect opportunity to plant up your containers or more containers to maximize summer color and experience the cooling effects of lush greenery on your porch or patio. Here's how it works. You bring your containers and gardening gloves to Sid's between 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. Saturday. Pick out your plants, and you can plant them right there. Sid's staff will help you with plant selection, and they'll even throw in the potting soil. This week, they've also got a couple of great specials on annuals. Jumbo 50 Impatiens flats are just $9.99. That's a great price for a flat, $9.99. And six-pack trays of Jumbo Wave petunias are just $8.99. One more thing, June is Perennial Plant Gardening Month, and to celebrate, SIDS is giving away a free perennial with a coupon you can download from their website. And that's, of course, SIDSonline.com. SIDS, Chicagoland's premier garden centers, are located in Palos Hills on Southwest Highway and in Bolingbrook on Napier Plainfield Road at Hassert Boulevard. And again, as I said, on the web at SIDSonline.com. Wait, now let's find, this is what I want. Let's do this song next. You betcha!
Down in New Orleans, in New York City.
Hey, New York!
All we need is music, sweet music.
Let's go to line one, because he's always on line one, and that's Rick DeMaio.
Hey, Mike, I was kind of listening halfway, you know, in between your commercial. Did you say there's a pot party?
Oh, great.
I heard that because, I mean, I'm there. I mean, I remember being invited to a lot of pod parties. I just don't remember leaving. Is that okay?
That's fine.
Okay.
I'll tell SIDS that you appreciated their commercial.
Do I have to bring my own you know,
they,
pod or
well,
my own bowl?
They said they'd you bring your own. Wait, what? Let's go. Wait, where was that? What are we bringing here? It is, you bring your container,
okay,
and your gardening gloves.
Okay, I know what that means in code. I gotcha.
Okay, you pick out your plants and and they'll provide you with soil.
Oh, I gotcha.
But I guess in your case, you just bring the seeds. Okay.
Did you hear that story about this building, this house in London that was busted for growing marijuana plants? Because during the time when everybody had like a heavy wet snow, this was back in, I think, late January, early February,
mm-hmm.
they had the only house in the neighborhood that the snow had melted on the roof. And when the police, this is serious, when the police kind of figured out, like, they go, why is your roof the only one that's melting the snow quicker than everybody else's? They kind of did a little bit of, you know, Scotland Yard interrogation, and they discovered about 300 marijuana plants and several, I don't know, 20 or 30, you know, grow lights that actually warmed up the inside of that particular unit. So I guess word to the wise out there, if you're growing your seeds in London in during the snowstorm, make sure that you know turn off the lights during those wet snowstorms. I thought that was kind of interesting.
Well, a word to the wise,
and obviously don't do it. That's the better word.
Well, yeah, but this is often how pot growers get busted, is, you know, because of things like, well, if you've ever seen Saving Grace, the movie, what's the late night comedian, the Scottish guy?
Greg Ferguson.
Yeah,
Craig Ferguson. Yeah,
Craig Ferguson, who's, I think, the funniest man on television.
Oh, without a doubt. And he does everything without a script or cue cards.
And so he wrote this script,
yeah.
And it's about this middle-aged woman whose husband dies and leaves her in huge debt. And she's got this greenhouse, and he comes up with this idea. And, you know, the light is just blinding for miles around. People come to watch the lights, you know. It's like a fireworks display or something. But word to the wise is that, you know, when your electric bill goes up by huge amounts suddenly, the police look at that, or DEA or whoever's handling that. I've been in communities out west in Pacific Northwest mm-hmm. where I had a vacation house. It was a little town of about 900, and you could tell when the electric spiked, you know, and the cops would do a raid. They you know, if the electricity spiked, they'd go in, and sure enough, there'd usually be marijuana plants in the basement.
That's great.
Yeah.
So we have to make sure we remind your viewers that this, or your listeners, I got to remember them on radio here.
Don't worry, we'll get that camera in here soon enough. Yeah.
We're talking about the message here. We're not talking about us, right? That's kind of like what Sarah Palin said yesterday.
I don't care what Sarah Palin, you know. Can somebody slash the bus's tires, please? That would be really good.
Oh, man.
Okay. Well, let's get on to summer because it as you predicted, it
yeah,
all, you know,
summary.
June 1st, well, actually May 30th, bam.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And the thing about it is this has been one of those patterns that is giving us, you know, basically these 1-2 punches of heat, humidity, thunderstorms, you know, torrential downpours, and then we get kind of quiet for a couple of days, and we get right back into it. It seems like that's going to be the case during the day tomorrow, where we'll get a little bit of a reprieve. We had some big thunderstorms move through the area yesterday. Some places across southern Cook County, northern Will, northern Kankakee, and torrential downpours and heavy rain and obviously some high winds and some hail, and then we get a nice little break today, and, you know, it'll be nice to open up the windows and air out the house from, you know, from the humidity, and then we get right back, believe it or not, into a very sticky pattern for tomorrow, Tuesday, and Wednesday, and it will cool off again Thursday and Friday. And I'm looking long-term here, trying to get kind of an assessment of how the rest of the summer is going to go. And I said this before, usually you have that first week or two of June kind of dictates what the rest of your summer is going to be like. kind of like how the first week or two of November kind of dictates how your winter is going to go. And it still seems like the pattern overall is trying to figure itself out. It's been very weird. We've had we had record cold and record rainfall in California yesterday, and still some snow falling in parts of the Sierra Nevada mountains. There's still about a 50 to 60 inch base of snow in the Colorado Rockies up and through Wyoming and Montana, and with this late season snow melt and heavy rains, they've had some flooding issues in parts of Montana and Wyoming, and it's almost like the pattern is trying to be like 1988, where we had somewhat of a cool, wet spring, and then once it broke, we got into a very, very hot and humid summer. If you're watching the Cubs yesterday in St. Louis,
that was painful.
98 and heat index of 105, and
I don't mean the weather either.
Yeah. Oh my God, the Cubs! They're another story.
Yikes!
It's been trying to get into a very warm and sticky pattern, and it almost seems that Chicago and Northern Illinois is going to be sort of like in between that, at least for the next couple of weeks or so. So, trying to get an idea on how things look from a climate standpoint, still kind of difficult to say right now. But you look around and everything is green, everything is lush. Soil moisture is fantastic. Even if you have a couple of days of, hot sunshine, anything that's in the ground is great, but obviously anything in your pots, if you haven't watered them, basically is frizzled up after about 24 to 36 hours.
It does evaporate very quickly right now.
Yes, it does.
Yeah. So I don't know why you keep trying to drag us back to 1988.
The reason why I'm doing that is because I've spoken to a bunch of different people about long-term, and this seems to be setting up that way, where you have this big trough out west, this big trough out east, and this ridge of high pressure over the middle part of the country. And when you see something like that, you always try to identify with certain past events. And I think more so is this widespread drought that continues down across Texas and Oklahoma and Kansas and New Mexico, and they continue to have very, very dry weather down there. And usually, when you have an area of dryness that large, that early in the summer season, things tend to emanate. That tends to be ground zero for the overall long-term pattern. And if you watch that area and you see how things try to develop and then they don't, usually large areas of dryness tend to dominate large areas of wetness during the summertime, similar to how large areas of cold and snow generally tend to dominate during the wintertime. So these are kind of the things that climate signals tend to show us. I don't think we're getting close to that, but it definitely seems that once we get into a warm pattern, and because of all the moisture in the ground and all the rain that we've had, we ended up with the third wettest May period ever. That data came out a couple of days at the end of May, early this week. I think it was 7.69 inches. We missed a record by about 3/10 of an inch for rainfall, and that was just in Chicago. But places south of us, Springfield, Champaign, down across Cairo, East St. Louis, all those other climate spots for Illinois, had their wettest Mays ever. And then much of the southern Midwest had their wettest Mays ever, including their wettest, 3-month periods from March, April, and May. So when you have this lack of evaporation and all this moisture in the ground, when you do get hot, you also get very, very humid. And we kind of saw that yesterday, and we'll see that again tomorrow. And I think we'll see that again Tuesday, where whenever you get some sunshine and some hot weather, it's not a dry heat. It's a very humid heat. And I think that's kind of where we're going for at least the first half of the summer.
Good. I'd rather have the humid heat. I'd rather have a little bit of rain, because I got this community garden that needs to get watered. And I don't want a repeat of the summer of 88.
No, that was definitely a hot and definitely a dry one.
Yeah. Before I let you go here, in the meantime, it looks like warm, occasional shower, that little pattern where it gets humid, we get the thunderstorms, we cool off a little bit, we get humid, we get the thunderstorms. That's going to go on for a couple of weeks, I take it.
Yeah, and you know what, like I was saying before, is like we get these 2-3 days of heat and humidity and then a couple of days of coolness. So basically a lot of clouds today. I think the best chance of any sunshine is probably after about 2 or 3 o'clock. Temperatures today, though, nice along the lakefront, North Shore, generally low 70s, Lake Michigan water temperature, the buoy, still only 48 degrees. That's about 5 to 6 degrees below average. The good news is that the Lake Michigan water level is up nearly a foot. from what it was about 2 months ago. So we have some nice water that's returned, at least the water levels have returned nicely to the shorelines. Shoreline temperature, though, the Lake Michigan water temperature is right now around 58 or 60. So still cool along the lakefront, but still, we look at the buoy temperature. That's, to me, the real key to how your summer is going to go. So bottom line, cloudy this morning, sunny this afternoon. We'll say 85 well inland, and probably only mid-70s lakefront. Rain arrives early tomorrow morning. This is going to be one of those days where you wake up on a Monday morning, and I think there's going to be a very large complex of thunderstorms that will move in from the west and northwest suburbs. So it's going to be a messy Monday morning commute. I think much of tomorrow, though, looks wet, with temperatures probably reaching their high close to dinner time, like maybe 6 o'clock in the evening, and then a very hot and humid Tuesday and Wednesday, both days, Mike, low 90s, no rain, heat index probably 98 to 100, very, very hot and humid day. Then Thursday and Friday, we get right back into northeasterly winds and potentially somewhat of a wet weekend coming up next week. Looks kind of cloudy and kind of wet, with highs probably only in the mid-70s. And hopefully this will do well, because I know that corn prices have reached, near record highs again because of all the farmers wanting to grow corn for ethanol. Hopefully a good soaking rains will kind of, suppress some of those prices a little bit. So
yeah, well, but you know what? The whole ethanol thing is a dead end. It's a dead end.
Yeah,
and we need to get away from that.
We don't really know where it's going to go at this point.
Well, at least the corn-based ethanol, I don't know. That's a whole show, and
it's
I can't go into it. The other thing that you were talking about, records, the record rains and the water washing down the Mississippi have produced a record in the Gulf of Mexico, or are about to produce a record in the Gulf of Mexico, in that the dead zone in the Gulf of Mexico will be the largest ever recorded. I don't know if it actually is at the moment, but I was reading about this, and I linked it to my website, MikeNovak.net, and it's because all this, the flooding, washed through the farm fields, washed through the cities, picked up all that nitrogen, picked up all that phosphorus, takes it out to the Gulf where the algae blooms go nuts, and then they die, and then as they decompose, they suck up all the oxygen in the water, and this will be the largest algae, or rather dead zone, ever recorded, and they just started doing that, I think, in 2003.
Right.
The largest ever recorded was about the size of New Jersey. I don't know why New Jersey's always used as the model, but this one's going to be larger than that. But just before we go beating ourselves up too much, there's 400 dead zones throughout the world in different parts of the ocean. We're not the only one. Everywhere you have that kind of runoff, you have that problem, but this year in particular, because of all the nutrients that are being picked up from farm fields and taken out to the Gulf of Mexico, there's going to be a huge dead zone, and it's really affecting the shrimp fishermen and others out there. So it's going to be a terrible problem. So
I think we're learning a lot more about that entire part of the Gulf of Mexico. After the big spill last year, and now this runoff, I think we're really beginning to figure things out. And it's usually after the fact.
Yeah.
And sometimes it makes long-term predictions a little bit more difficult, because you have to pretty much try to figure out all these other things that could happen in between. So it's constantly a challenge from year to year, Mike, without a doubt.
Rick DeMaio, always a pleasure to have you. You can go to DeMaioWeather.com. You doing any TV this week?
No TV, just a lot of schoolwork, a lot of teaching, and just keeping my nose to the grindstone.
You do, and you can go to my website, MikeNovak.net, and link onto his and get great weather information. Rick, I'll talk to you next week.
Okay, see you, Mike.
Take care.
Tired of spending a lot of time watering your plants to keep them looking their best? Have you heard about Soil Moist? Help your plants survive the stressful heat of the summer with Soil Moist. Mixing Soil Moist's water-absorbing crystals in the soil as you plant can reduce watering frequency by 50%, and that's good for the planet. Soil Moist granules hold over 200 times their weight in water and release it back to the plant as it needs it. Soil Moist is ideal for patio planters and hanging baskets that dry out quickly. Safe and garden-friendly, Soil Moist can be used indoors and out for all of your planting needs, vegetable gardens too. The secret of professional growers, Soil Moist. Soil Moist is available in granules, self-watering mats, and plant packs,
and is available at leading garden centers. Soil Moist is now available with Mycorrhizae. It increases plant growth and establishment with fewer plant waterings.
Here's a real quote from a real person who used Bobex deer repellent. I finally saw my daylilies. I think that says it all. You know that to deer, daylilies are like bonbons, so get some Bobex in your arsenal. Bobex will give your garden florals a chance to survive, protecting them from critters like deer, rabbits, groundhogs, squirrels, and chipmunks. How? Bobex steers grazers away using both the odor and taste of meat meal, fish oil, putrescent eggs, garlic, and other naturally occurring ingredients. So no bonbons here, Mrs. Deer. You can get Bobex in an easy-to-use spray, concentrate, and even with a pump sprayer. There's plenty of information about Bobex products and how to use them at Bobex.com, B-O-B-B-E-X.com. They're all environmentally safe. You're not going to find it in the big box stores, only at your local independent garden center. But you can find Bobex products at Gardens for People in Geneva, Illinois, Anton's Greenhouse in Highland Park, Illinois, the Fields Nursery in Joliet, Illinois. Remember, plants thrive and survive with Bobex. And we're getting into the home stretch, and if you haven't signed up for my fabulous Caribbean cruise yet, better do it now. From February 25th to March 3rd, 2012, I'll be on the Norwegian Cruise Line's Norwegian Sun, visiting the Caribbean destinations of Nassau, St. Thomas, San Juan, Great Stirrup Cay, and more, exploring spectacular Zone 11 gardens on some of the most iconic tropical islands on the Northern Hemisphere. Go to CruiseWorks at 800-876-6664 or write me at mike@mikenovak.net. I'll send you all the information you need. Sign on today. Second hour of the program, we got a few people we're talking to. Stick around.
Things you won't hear in a gardening program.
Last week, you were complaining about rabbits being rampant in your garden and being a pest. But let me tell you, I've got a rampant rabbit, and when it's in my garden, it causes nothing but joy.
Well, I've been having terrible trouble with a mole. He keeps on passing confidential information to other gardeners.
Here we see we've got a nice rockery over there, and there's a lovely fountain we put in, and next to that is the tree of knowledge. You will not eat from the tree of knowledge.
If your lawn suffers from patchy grass, just grow it long one side and comb it over.
Unchain my heart, baby, let me be. 'Cause you don't care. Well, please set me free. Unchain my heart, baby, let me go. Unchain my heart.
This hour of the Mike Novak Show is brought to you by The Care of Trees, our business's people and their love for trees, and by Sid's Greenhouses, Chicagoland's premier garden centers, and by Back to Nature Compost. Life doesn't start with the seed, it starts with the soil. Here he is again, Mike Novak.
You know, I love the Ray Charles.
Oh, man, that's all the church I need this morning.
The church of Unchain My Heart. Yeah.
That sounds good.
But this is not Ray Charles. This is Joe Cocker. I was just going to say, I love the original Ray Charles, but when Joe Cocker covers a song, I usually don't have a problem with it either. Yeah. So, welcome back to the Mike Novak Show on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM. That's Mark Munger filling in for Heather Fry, wherever she is. She's somewhere. And we've got, it was very funny, ran out of time as we got up to 10 o'clock. Stick around. We're going to talk to some people.
Somebody.
Somebody will be here.
It's not just going to be Mike.
One of the things we did, and I got to take care of some business and then get Rich and Susie air on in a second. Yesterday I tweeted and I Facebooked about farmers markets because, we're going to be talking about that later in the program.
And I couldn't figure out how to spell farmers markets because there's so many different ways. Is it farmers, F-A-R-M-E-R-S, no apostrophe, or is it F-A-R-M-E-R apostrophe S, or is it F-A-R-M-E-R-S apostrophe? And I got, like, you know, a gazillion Facebook replies. You know, if I write about hunger in Darfur, it's crickets chirping. Yeah. And then you write about apostrophes and how to spell farmers markets. Everybody jumps on board.
Well, it seems like there's a solution, you know. You can solve that problem. Somebody can solve that problem.
No, you can't.
Farmers
market. That debate will go on forever. But I don't think we've reached a consensus. So we had, if you go to Mike Novak, I didn't do it on the Mike Novak show. I did it on my personal. I got too many Facebook accounts here. But a lot of people weighed in on that. So it was kind of interesting. All right, let me do this, and then we'll talk to Rich and Susie Air. Last week we were in winter, and this week it's summer. Welcome to Chicago, kids. And you're all jazzed up about getting your tomatoes going. You need a copy of the May-June issue of Chicagoland Gardening Magazine. My buddy, Nina Koziel, who is a terrific writer, has a great article about tomatoes. And even though she refuses to be on my radio show, because I think I make her really, really nervous, which is why there are shrinks, by the way, she tells you how to keep your tomatoes happy all summer long. I noticed that my peony plant in my yard is really rocking right now. Well, another buddy of mine, Gene Starr, who doesn't refuse to be on my program, writes on how you can grow terrific peonies and even cut the stems and refrigerate the buds so you can have cut peony blooms in your house in July. I kid you not. Then there's my column on the inside back page. I've been known to be refrigerated while writing it. And I don't even know what that means. You can purchase Chicagoland Gardening Magazine on newsstands all over Chicago, but why not get a subscription? Call 888-265-3600. 888-265-3600 or go to chicagolandgardening.com.
I love gardening. What I don't love to see is deer and rabbits destroy my beautiful plants.
Why let your garden be destroyed? Plant Skid Repellent protects your garden, trees, and landscaping from wildlife damage. Made in the USA from 100% organic environment and pet-friendly ingredients, Plant Skid is the number one, most tested, most effective, and longest-lasting deer and rabbit repellent you can buy. It lasts up to 6 months over winter and 3 to 4 months during the active spring-summer growing season. Unlike other repellents, Plant Skid will not wash off in the rain and is guaranteed to outlast and outperform all other repellents. Plant Skid is OMRI-listed organic and is proven effective protection from deer, rabbits, squirrels, and other small rodents. That's why Plant Skid is used by leading forest companies, nurseries, and conservation agencies, and is member-tested and recommended by the National Home Gardening Club. Locate a dealer nearest you at plantskid.com. Proven plant protection. Guaranteed, or your money back.
Plant Skid. That's spelled plant, S-K-Y-D-D. Plant Skid.
Getting a bag of cotton burr compost from Back to Nature is like calling up your own clay-busting squad. Who are you going to call? Clay Busters. This all-natural product is made from composted cotton burrs, which will break up your soil better than any proton pack. And it will condition your soil, too. Cotton burr compost from Back to Nature is rich in protein, which is the primary food source for beneficial soil organisms. You know, those little guys that aerate the soil with their tunneling and convert nutrients into a form that plants can use. Cotton burr compost also accepts and retains moisture like a champ, unlike peat moss. Back to Nature has been composting since 1979, and they are the largest producers of cotton burr compost, of composted cotton burrs in the southwestern United States. Find out more about cotton burr compost and other fine products from Back to Nature at backtonaturecompost.com. Dr. Wally at Pesci's and I both love them, so give them a try. Back to Nature products are available at Wheaton Nursery in Wheaton, Illinois, the Chalet in Wilmette, Illinois, Fertile Gardens in Chicago, Illinois. Get back to the earth with Back to Nature. Hey, It's the Mike Novak Show on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM. I am very happy to have a couple of my buddies online. We go to line one, Rich Eyre from Rich's Fox Willow Pines in Woodstock, Illinois. How you doing, Rich?
Howdy do do do.
And on line two, I love the way you guys do the tag team thing. Susie Eyre on line two. How you doing, Susie?
I'm just fantastic. I'm 63. My birthday was yesterday.
That's great. Happy birthday.
Thank you.
You know, it's very odd for people to answer the phone and say, I'm just fantastic. I'm 63.
I made it.
Congratulations. You made
it.
Woohoo. Hey, listen, a couple more years. Social Security, baby. Get it,
yes.
Get it now while it's still there, is what I say.
Absolutely.
You guys have the big Hosta happening, which you do a couple of times a year up at Rich's Fox Willow Pines. And it's next Saturday. And, of course, the Hosta Queen Margaret Eyre. Now, hey, listen, you talk about 63. How about when you're 93?
Yes,
like
Margaret's doing great. She's showing her age a little bit this year, but her Hosta patch looks great. People have been coming already and buying a lot of hostas, and that's the whole idea, to raise money for Heifer International.
All right, I have a question for you. How close are you two standing next to each other?
I just put my hand over the phone so you couldn't hear.
Because there's a little echo, and I have a feeling it's because...
There you go. We don't have the reverb on either.
Go into the other room, somebody.
Yes.
Okay.
But not only are we feeding your soul, but we're feeding your head this week when we have the world's authority on hosta, Mr. Mark Zoas from Q&Z Nursery, will be speaking on hostas of distinction and will be signing his book, The Hosta Encyclopedia.
You know, I don't understand why, but hostas, whoops, hello. Hostas have gone kind of nuts. I mean, there's so many different varieties of hostas, and Mark covers them all, and he's only spent, I think, who did we lose?
Susie?
Susie, come back! We lost her.
She's out there in space and time, believe me.
See, I just told her to go into the other room. I didn't tell her to hang up. Mark is, didn't it take like 17 years to write that book?
We did take quite a bit of time.
And you think I'm kidding that I'm making that up?
I think it took 10 years.
Was it 10 years?
I mean, between his spiral-bound smaller version and this, everything you want to know about hosta in one fantastic book.
She's back, I hear. Oh, let's try that. Are you back, Susie?
Yes, I am.
Okay, thank you. I thought, 63, and that was it. She just hit the wall.
Oh, no. Over the edge.
Yeah.
I need her.
At least until through Saturday for the hosta happening.
Yes.
Mark's going to be there and talk about all these fabulous...
He'll be speaking at 1:30, mm-hmm. And at 12:30, we have Domingo Barrios, who is the president and CEO of the Heifer Foundation. This is a very special human being, and Susie and I were so blessed to spend a few weeks with him in Bolivia in November. And he'll be discussing poverty and heifers' sustainable solutions. Plus, he's a great guy to work over if you... Heifer Foundation is great for charitable remainder trust and to give you counsel and advice. And he's a heck of a human being, and I hardly recommend people just coming and meet him.
Well, and that's the whole point. You do these hosta happenings, even though you are a purveyor of rare, unusual, dwarf pines. Conifers. You do the hosta happening a couple of times.
We have bought or have been given to us by numerous loving supporters.
But the point is that the money that you raise goes to Heifer.
100%. You write the check to Heifer, and they get all the money. We take nothing but our service and our honor of trying to help the hungry around the world. And it's been really, who doesn't love to get their ego trip, Michael, being in public? But when a hungry man turns to you and he says, help you for for helping to feed my hungry family.
Mm-hmm.
That's for your soul, and that's, you know, if you can even like yourself a little more. A lot of us beat up on ourselves pretty good. And
oh, not me.
No.
You're oh, no, never. Not me.
The actor never comes out.
No, 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 no. But just I'm going to have to talk about this to my therapist this week. So
there you go.
Well, we appeal to the gardening public to support Heifer International and make Margaret Eyre happy. In fact, Tom Micheletti, the president of the American Hosta Society, named a hosta in Margaret's honor. It's called Margaret Eyre. Isn't that great?
Oh, that's fabulous. Yes.
So,
and we're at 11618 McConnell Road in Woodstock, 815-338-7442 is our phone number. And, Michael, we thank you so much. Can I give one conifer tip to look closely at all your spruce this year for red spider? The cold, wet weather will especially induce a flatness in the look of the needle on dwarf Alberta and other spruce. And that's the cursed red spider. The test is putting the white paper underneath, rattling the branch, and then rubbing your hand. If you see smeared red, that's the little spiders,
now,
which you can see.
Is that different from spider mite?
Well, same thing.
It is same thing? Because I always thought, now you said it, the moist weather produces it, but I thought spider mites don't like moisture.
Well, I think that... this year, I've seen more of it, and I even saw one in a hemlock, which I had never seen in all my years and playing with the plants almost 50 years. So.
And how do you treat this red spider?
The suicidal soap. You give them a good dose of Safer soap. So it's a very innocuous, very clean, organic treatment.
And people are going to find this on...
They're going to find it in any grocery store. You can even use...
Oh, no, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. The mite,
They're going to find them on spruce in general, especially dwarf Alberta. They'll be flat in color and look unhealthy, like a pale, only this will be... The green won't be as vibrant as it normally is. It's soft, and it seems like it's strong this year from my perspective.
So if you see your plant doesn't look quite as vibrant, you might want to do that. Like you said, tap the branch and see if the little red spiders fall out into a piece of paper.
And then you smear it, and the smearing is unfortunately the spiders, but we got to get rid of them.
Right.
So there
and
you go.
The insecticidal soap will work, and it's a very non-toxic way of dealing with it. That's a great tip, Rich. I'm glad you brought that up.
All right, brother. Well, we thank you so much for helping us to help others, and we send the best and thanks for all your listeners that have always lovingly supported us and others around the world.
And again,
Heifer International.
It's next week, 9 to 4, at Rich's Fox Willow Pines at 11618 McConnell Road in Woodstock. 12:30, Domingo Barrios from Heifer will speak. At 1:30, Mark Zillis of Q&Z Nursery will talk about hostas. You can call 815-338-7442 for more information. And Susie?
Yes.
Happy birthday.
Thank you.
I'm on my way to 64.
Michael,
we send you love.
And try to get Margaret out of the tavern.
That's it.
Oh, yeah.
we're giving her good counsel.
Okay.
Those damn relatives of her that lead her astray. Always.
Send her my love and give her a big kiss on the cheek for me.
You betcha. She adores you, Mike, and loved your articles.
I adore, she actually reads Chicagoland Gardening Magazine. I got to love that.
She goes to the back page first.
Aw, bless her heart.
Well, talk to you soon.
All right, buddy. Take care. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye.
Rich and Susie Eyre, they are a pair. They're great people, and it's a great cause. So I hope that all of you can get out there at some point. It's time for Dr. Wally's Tip of the Week, Part 2, brought to you by Pesci's Garden Center in Des Plaines. Last hour, we told you that Wally likes Dr. Earth Liquid Solution Concentrate 333 All-Purpose Organic fertilizer with chelated multi-minerals and growth enhancers. Wally uses a foliar application, that is to say, on the leaves, because plants have thousands of microscopic pores on leaf surface. Oh, I'm ringing here. Well, no, it's not for the show, so we'll get it later. You think I do? I did, for one. I always think that the president is going to call. So I that's why I have this here, so that I can...
That's not Obama?
It's not.
I'm shocked.
It's Olga. I got to talk to Olga. It's like, Olga, do you know I have a radio show?
And he tells everybody else to leave their phones outside. Leave your phone outside before the show.
Yeah, but this is me. This is my show.
Yeah, I see.
So I can do whatever I want. All right. I'll get to you later, Olga. and if Obama calls, I'm picking up. All right. Where were we? Wally uses a foliar application because plants have thousands of microscopic pores on leaf surfaces. One is a stoma, meaning, that's Greek, meaning mouth. The plural is stomata, except you wouldn't do it with that accent. They're located primarily on the underside of the leaves, which prevents them from plugging up with dust and other environmental contaminants. It also prevents fungal spores from entering. Stomata openings permit gases containing carbon, hydrogen, and oxygen to enter the plant. These are used to manufacture sugars during photosynthesis. Conversely, stomata close at night because the absorption of carbon dioxide is unnecessary when photosynthesis is not taking place. Stomata may also close on hot, dry days, in heavy winds, or when the soil becomes dry. Geeky and cool, huh? Liquid Solutions is OMRI listed, approved for use in organic gardens, and has been trusted for 20 years in agriculture. It works for Wally. It will work for you. Pesci's Garden Center is just minutes off of I-294 at 170 South River Road in Des Plaines. If you have any questions about things we talk about on the show, go on over there. Talk to Wally. He'll give you the straight skinny on it. And you can find Pesci's online at Pesci's.com.
I love gardening. What I don't love to see is deer and rabbits destroy my beautiful plants.
Why let your garden be destroyed? Plant Skid Repellent protects your garden, trees, and landscaping from wildlife damage. Made in the USA from 100% organic environment and pet-friendly ingredients, Plant Skid is the number one, most tested, most effective, and longest-lasting deer and rabbit repellent you can buy. It lasts up to 6 months over winter and 3 to 4 months during the active spring-summer growing season. Unlike other repellents, Plant Skid will not wash off in the rain and is guaranteed to outlast and outperform all other repellents. Plant Skid is OMRI listed organic and is proven effective protection from deer, rabbits, squirrels, and other small rodents. That's why PlantSkid is used by leading forest companies, nurseries, and conservation agencies, and is member-tested and recommended by the National Home Gardening Club. Locate a dealer nearest you at PlantSkid.com. Proven plant protection, guaranteed, or your money back.
PlantSkid. That's spelled plant, S-K-Y-D-D. PlantSkid.
Make pirating pests walk the plank with Captain Jack's Dead Bug Brew. Mark, can I get an R?
R.
Thank you. Use this organic brew from Bonai to control foliage feeding worms like caterpillars and thrips so you can safely feast on your tomatoes, peppers, spinach, apples, and berries. Here's some gardening trivia about Captain Jack's Dead Bug Brew, and we tell this story, and it's 100% true, which is also geeky and cool. It contains spinosad, which is derived from a naturally occurring soil bacterium discovered in an abandoned rum distillery in the Caribbean in 1982. You don't get a whole lot of pesticides like that, do you?
Yar.
Thank you, Captain Mark.
Yar.
Spinosad is classified as an organic substance by the USDA National Organic Standards Board and is used by organic farmers worldwide. You can get Captain Jack's Dead Bug Brew at Growing Grounds in Bloomington, Illinois.
Yar.
Sonoris Brothers in Frankfort, Illinois.
Yar.
Faisal and Sons in Oak Lawn, Illinois.
Yar.
Or visit Bonai.com to locate a retailer near you.
Oh, yes, yar.
And while you're there, download the free Bonai Problem Solver app for your iPhone or Droid. I like me Droid. I like me Droid.
I like me iPhone.
Or download it to your computer. Do you think they're going to pay us for this spot? I don't know. Just type in the name of a pest and find a solution. You can get it at Bonai.com.
You can have a beautiful lawn and be kind to the environment, too. Hi, I'm Melinda Myers, horticulturist and gardening expert. A few simple changes in your lawn care practices, like using Milorganite goof-proof organic fertilizer, can result in a carpet of green safe for your kids and pets. Start by raising the mowing height of your lawn, if you haven't done so already. Taller grass is better able to compete with the weeds. Mow often, removing only 1/3 of the total height, and leave the clippings on the lawn. consider using a pusher electric mower. It's good for the waistline and the environment. Further improve your lawn's health and greatly reduce weed problems with proper fertilization. Milorganite's organic nitrogen is slow release and won't burn your lawn, even in hot, dry weather. Plus, you don't need to water it in. And the non-staining iron helps maintain the deep green color, even in the heat of summer. So join the professionals and home gardeners who've trusted Milorganite for over 80 years. Use Milorganite for better results naturally. Available where garden supplies are sold.
Here's a tip from the Care of Trees. Excuse me. It's hard to get out of that. Here's a tip from the Care of Trees. Mulching is one of the best things you can do for your trees. It's easy, inexpensive, and doesn't require special tools. Mulch suppresses weeds and keeps equipment like lawn mowers and string trimmers away from the tree, and thus reduces trunk injuries that can be an opening for disease and insect damage. Mulching also moderates soil temperature and conserves moisture in the soil to help trees through dry spells. It increases the amount of organic material and activity around the roots that feed the tree. The most commonly used mulching material is wood chips. Spread them around the base of the tree to at least 3 feet from the trunk or all the way out to the width of the widest branches, if you can. Don't make the mulch any thicker than 3 inches and do not allow it to touch the tree trunk. I cannot say that enough. Please. No volcano mulch. I want one of those T-shirts that has, like, volcano mulch and with the universal no sign that goes with that. Can we have those made for the show?
I think they sell those outside Wrigley Field.
No, what they say is they have, like, a no bad baseball players there.
That T-shirt doesn't work.
It doesn't work. No, it doesn't work at all. Invite the certified arborist at the Care of Trees to take a look at your trees. They'll teach you how to mulch. See thecareoftrees.com or call 847-394-4220. The Care of Trees. Their business is people and their love for trees.
Director of Public Relations, Aura 290.
Is available only at the
Texas Center. There's no other.
Okay.
You're tuned to the Mike Novak Show on Chicago's Progressive Talk AM and FM. We're at 820 AM, 92.7 FM in the north, 92.5 out west, where we boom in from DeKalb to the western suburbs on the south side at 99.9 FM. Online at chicagosprogressivetalk.com. You can stream it live through there or through mikenovak.net. We're on Facebook. We're on Twitter. There'll be podcasts up after the show. It is an empire, and it continues to grow like a really bad fungus. So keep tuned in and tell your friends. We need that support. And my feeling is, you know, one person a week. Just tell one person a week about this. Why are you laughing?
You're just knocking out the great promos today. We're talking to somebody, and we're growing like a really bad fungus. Don't you want to be part of that fungus? Be the next spore. That's right.
So Heather's back next week, huh?
Hey, you're lucky. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Let's go to line one and bring in my buddy, Executive Director of Friends of the Forest Preserves, Benjamin Cox. Benjamin, good morning.
Good morning, Mike.
It's a good week for you.
It is a good week for me.
Friends of the Forest Preserves had a victory this week, and I've posted the story on my website. But in a few words, I'm going to say that you guys managed to keep a gun club from operating, not necessarily on, but over a forest preserve. Is that correct?
Right. So the gun club is a victim of bad government here, actually. And a lot of folks have said, what do you got against guns? And guns are fine, and gun clubs are good, and these are veterans and all that stuff. And honestly, if it was an orphanage, we would have the same reaction. We're not anti-orphan either. We're anti-giving land away. So basically, a long time ago, the state took their land away, the gun club's land, and the county somehow ended up with it, the land that they shoot on, like you said. And then the county leased it to them for a few bucks every day that they would actually shoot. So they've got their own little building on about an acre, and then they shoot from there over the forest or the county land.
And this and this is in. This is down on the south side, right?
It is. It's in Oak Forest. Yep.
Yep. Okay.
And then the county swooped in about in Todd Stroger's first year in office, so like 2006, and took about $13 million from the Forest Preserve because they said they owed it to them, but that was highly disputed. And they said, but don't worry, we'll give you land for that. We don't know what we're going to give you, but we'll give you some at some point. And so eventually they gave them this land, about 177 acres next to Oak Forest Hospital, and it included the gun club. Well, Forest Preserves can't have gun clubs, and you can't. It's not even a gun club. Basically, it's you can't have a private use of public land, and the gun club's got a fence around their land, and it's really it would be exclusive use of that land for the gun club only.
Let me clear that up for a second, though. The land that was fenced off, was that a Forest Preserve land or was that their private land?
It was. Like in 1940, it was private land that the state of Illinois took away when they redid I-57. And so they came in and used eminent domain to take the gun club's land. So then somehow the county ended up with the land, and it was part of Oak Forest Hospital. And like I said, the county just leased it from them. I mean, the gun club leased it from the county so that they could shoot. You know, they pay. I mean, most recently they were paying, I think, $30 a day to shoot, you know, over the land. And then... but once it got transferred from the county to the Forest Preserve, it's now public land that belongs to everyone in the county. And you can't have it be sectioned off for one private use. So that's where we had to come in and raise a ruckus and say, hey, hold on a minute, you can't give somebody, you know, one group exclusive use of public land.
I think the point you made earlier bears repeating, which is it's not a gun issue. You're not against guns. You're against private use of public lands.
That's right. And the problem is you know, I was on the show, I think, last year, talking, or the year before, talking about Hinsdale, who wanted a much larger chunk of Forest Preserve land for to use for soccer fields and baseball fields, you know. And then, you know, right after I started on the job 7 years ago, Dominican University was asking for like 1,500 square feet of land for a driveway. We're like, you can't do it. As soon as you give a little piece here or a little piece there, then you have no argument against the next guy who comes along and says, well, come on, you gave them some. Why can't you give some to me?
Yeah.
And, you know, everybody in the county needs land. They didn't plan ahead like the Forest Preserve did, and they look over there and they see trees and prairies. Like so much of the rest of the county that's been plowed under for houses or a subdivision, or I mean a strip mall or something like that. And they're used to land going away, so they just look at land like that and they don't see the value of ecosystem.
What they look at that land and they say, well, that land's being wasted.
Right.
It's perfectly good land. Why do we put a baseball field on it or a soccer field or a shooting range or... whatever.
Yeah, one of their favorite things to say is, you know, that land is underutilized, as if all land must be utilized, you know. It's like, well, no, actually it's highly utilized by the native plants and animals that are using it, and that are there for us to enjoy. And, you know, and everybody seems to forget that we're a native plant and animal, too. You know, people have been here since the glaciers left. They're a part of the ecosystem, too. So, We have to have this green space as part of our community. It's what makes it Chicago. It's just one of those things that makes Chicago so wonderful. That, you know, 100 years ago, they started buying land. And now we've got the largest Forest Preserve district in the whole state. And other states don't have things called Forest Preserve districts. We're lucky to have it here.
Well, we are. And the foresight of 100 years ago was remarkable. But the problem
is remarkable, yeah.
It is remarkable, but the only way that we continue to have that land is because of groups like yours, and mine, because I'm a member, Friends of the Forest Preserves.
Well, and also people like you on your radio show who are promoting it and who are helping people understand the value of it. Because, you know, the famous saying is, once you preserve it, you've got to continue to preserve it, because people start to take it for granted. You know, if you didn't have to work for it, and you don't remember paying for it, then you just sort of take it for granted. And once it's gone, it's gone. So you got to make sure that while it's here, you know, we're doing our best to educate people about what the land's all about, to get them out there enjoying it. I know a lot of folks who just drive by forest preserves, they never go in them, and they say they think that's wonderful. They're glad that they're there. You know, that's part of the mission, says that the forest preserves are there for education, pleasure, and recreation. And, you know, the pleasure is sort of an interesting one, because you don't even need to go in there to enjoy them, you know, to know that they're there for, again, for the native plants and animals, and for us to recreate amongst that, and you know, to learn from them, and
I just got a tweet here, Benjamin. Somebody wants to know whether the group Trees for Life is, in their words, still harassing the Forest Preserve District about removing buckthorn. Is the
they still exist? It's the same.
Do you want to explain? Do you want to explain briefly who that is?
Well, there's a couple groups up on the north side, basically in the Edgebrook community, that don't like restoration, and they don't like, you know, removing the brush and helping the native species to thrive. And there's a lot of arguments for what that, you know, why they might not like that. I think a lot of it has to do with stay out of my backyard, and you know, I want that green screen so I don't have to see the road on the other side of the preserve. And I don't think they like having lots of people from all over the city in their yards, you know, behind their houses working on the forest preserves. But, you know, the couple times a year that happens. But yeah, they still exist. There's a handful of people. I don't think they'll ever change. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I was just going to say, they say, you're taking down our trees. Those are our trees. And that's
right.
And that's as far as they can take it. That's all they understand about it. Those are there now, and there are trees. And how dare you take down our trees? And if you look at it in terms of the ecosystem, they're about as damaging a species as you could possibly have.
Right. Yeah. And I mean, these trees, the buckthorn just doesn't belong here. It's from Europe, and it came up in Europe. It knows how to compete with things in Europe, and it comes over here, and it's just a huge thug. It's got an amazing ability to outcompete everything else. And, you know, but they don't want to hear that. They say let nature take its course. And the problem is we've screwed around with nature so much that we've got to help it out. Otherwise, you know, these natural areas would just sort of disappear. We made them too small, and we brought too many other things in to mess with them. They're like, you know, buckthorn's like the Asian carp of the forest. I mean, it's very destructive.
Well, before I let you go, I just want to get a sense of how you feel the Friends of the Forest Preserves and people who are concerned about this had an influence on this decision by the Cook County Board. Let me tell you a real quick story in that I called my commissioner, Reyes, Edwin Reyes, and you had reported on your website that he voted to put voted yes in the committee that put this proposal out there. And I called him, and then Kathleen called later in the day and talked to an aide who said no, he didn't. And as a matter of fact, later that day, Edwin Reyes himself called Kathleen and said, no, I didn't vote to let it out of committee. I voted present. And he said the Friends of the Forest Preserves got it wrong. Know anything about that?
Yeah, I talked to, I actually got the vote count from the secretary that day, because I keep up with the vote, but I got distracted. And so I just went over to the secretary of the board and said, can you give me the vote? And so they actually wrote out a sheet for me and said, here's how everybody voted, which I told the commissioner before the board meeting on Thursday, and he apologized, saying, yeah, you're right, I got it wrong. I did vote yes. So, and it, you know, he's an ex-state police officer, and so he's very sort of sympathetic to the folks at the gun club. And I told him, I said, you know, this isn't about guns for me. This is about giving public land to a private entity. You can't do it. I said, I wish they would have figured out how to sell the land before it was forest preserve, which they could have done, but it's just this sloppy government of having the same people run Cook County that also run the Forest Reserve District, the same board of commissioners like Edwin Reyes. You know, frankly, they had the opportunity to take care of this long before it ever became a problem by carving off the 5 acres and selling it to the gun club, but they didn't do it. Or carving off the 5 acres and keeping it as county land and continuing to lease it to the gun club. I mean, but once it became Forest Reserve, there's just nothing else we could do. We had to fight it.
So and your point is well taken, and I think we'll wrap up on that, is that you and I have been talking about this for years, how we need to separate the Board of Commissioners, Cook County Board of Commissioners, from the Forest Preserve, create commissioners separate, a separate entity for the Forest Preserves, because there's so much conflict of interest there that it makes it difficult to govern and to protect those lands.
Yep. A Forest Preserve commissioner that had to run on Forest Preserve issues would have never looked at a gun club and said, yeah, sure, you know what, you're right. That's a big deal. We should get you that land. Let me take that to the board and fight for it. But the bigger issue, actually, you step back one step in the process. If I was a county commissioner trying to take money from the Forest Preserve because I thought they owed it, first of all, the paperwork that said we loaned it to you in the first place would have actually said that, because it doesn't. It just says, here's some money. The second thing is, Forest Preserve Commissioner would have never given the county money without knowing exactly what land they were getting in exchange for that. They didn't find out for 3 years later until how much and where it was and all that stuff. And a Forest Preserve Commissioner would never have bought a gun club, you know, land that a gun club was using. They would have said, that's a mess. I'm not dealing with that until you take care of it. So, it's dealing with yourself. I mean, you don't notice the same things, you know. Heck, I mean, if you sold land to your brother or your sister, you guys would, you know, you would do a better job of evaluating what was going on than what happened in this situation. So having the two tangled together is a mess.
Yeah, and we need to separate those boards. And I hope that Commissioner or President Tony Preckwinkle is listening and starts moving in that direction, because it's long overdue. Benjamin Cox, executive director, rather, of Friends of the Forest Preserves. You know, you're always welcome on the show, and we'll talk again soon.
All right. Thanks, Mike.
Take care. Have a great Sunday.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Now, here's something really special. It's going on this coming Saturday, June 11th, at Sid's Greenhouses and Garden Center. They're having another potting party. Unlike what Rick DeMille said, no, it's not a pot party. It's a potting party. If Rick shows up, I just think, oh, anyway. Anyway, you're invited. This is the perfect opportunity to plant up your containers or more containers to maximize summer color and experience the cooling effects of lush greenery on your porch or patio. Here's how it works. You bring your containers and gardening gloves to SIDS between 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. Saturday, pick out your plants, and you can plant them right there. SIDS staff will help you with the plant selection and design. They'll tell you how to get it done right. They'll even throw in the potting soil. This week, they've also got a couple of great specials. Jumbo 50 Impatience Flats are just $9.99, and six-pack trays of Jumbo Wave Petunias are just $8.99. One more thing, June is Perennial Plant Gardening Month, and to celebrate, SIDS is giving away a free perennial with a coupon you can download from their website, SIDSonline.com. SIDS, Chicagoland's premier garden centers, are located in Palos Hills on Southwest Highway and in Bolingbrook on Napier Plainfield Road at Hassard Boulevard. And as I said, on the line at SIDSonline.com.
Spending more time at home these days? Give yourself some room. Renovate your basement or attic. You'll increase your living space and your home's resale value too.
Trust DR Services Unlimited, 847-998-1687, for your remodeling needs, including additions, renovations, and other home improvements. Rated A-plus by the Better Business Bureau and recommended on Angie's List. DR is a proud member of NARI. DR provides exceptional quality at a fair price. Contact DR at 847-998-1687 or at RestoreTheNorthShore.com.
Move over, yogurt. Dr. Earth's potting soils are packed with probiotics, too. The kind that break down organic materials and make nutrients available to your plants. Sorry, no special flavors, just the awesome taste that the nutrient-rich soil will give your herbs, fruits, and veggies. Dr. Earth potting soils can be used indoors and outdoors, in raised beds or containers, mixed with existing garden soil, or on its own. Doctor your earth with Dr. Earth, the multivitamin for your garden. 35 million satisfied customers cannot be wrong. Visit DrEarth.com to find a dealer near you.
Tired of spending a lot of time watering your plants to keep them looking their best? Have you heard about Soil Moist? Help your plants survive the stressful heat of the summer with soil moist. Mixing Soil Moist's water-absorbing crystals in the soil as you plant can reduce watering frequency by 50%, and that's good for the planet. Soil Moist granules hold over 200 times their weight in water and release it back to the plant as it needs it. Soil Moist is ideal for patio planters and hanging baskets that dry out quickly. Safe and garden-friendly, Soil Moist can be used indoors and out for all of your planting needs, vegetable gardens too. The secret of professional growers, Soil Moist. Soil Moist is available in granules, self-watering mats, and plant packs, and is available at leading garden centers. Soil Moist is now available with mycorrhizae. It increases plant growth and establishment with fewer plant waterings.
Are deer and small four-legged critters treating your yard like an all-you-can-eat buffet? Well, with that new growth coming in, you can be sure they're hearing the dinner bell. Cut them off already. Try some Bobex products. They're environmentally safe, meaning they're harmless to wildlife, including aquatic species, as well as humans and pets, and they don't contain petrochemical or synthetic components. Most importantly, they work. Bobex has a loyal customer base as well as a loyal staff who believe in the company and the product they've been putting out for over 20 years. Bobex repels foraging animals using both the odor and taste of meat meal, fish oil, putrescent eggs, garlic, and other naturally occurring ingredients, and they work effectively throughout all the seasons. Don't look for Bobex products in a box store. Look for them in a Bobex store, meaning your local independent garden center. If you don't see Bobex at your favorite garden center, you can call Bobex and they'll check it out for you. But you can find Bobex products at Shades of Green Nursery in Chicago, Fields Nursery in Crest Hill, Illinois, Alsip Home and Nursery in Frankfort, Illinois. Remember, plants thrive and survive with Bobex. It's the Mike Novak Show on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM. We're headed into the home stretch here. Now, a couple of things I wanted to, well, one in particular, I want to call to your attention before we get to our guest, Gina. And I know you were using this, but I need to grab it for a second, Mark. I got a note from Beth Botts, friend of the show, sometimes fills in for me. And it's about an event next weekend, June 11th and 12th. The Washington, D.C.-based Cultural Landscape Foundation is holding a What's Out There weekend in Chicago, June 11th and 12th. And Mark is putting that on the Facebook page right now on the Mike Novak Show. And what it is, it involves a free guided tours of many landscape sites in Chicago, including a number of Chicago's landmark parks. Some of the tours require pre-registration, but many don't. There will be trolleys running between many of the sites. And Mark is posting that website right now, as I said, at the Mike Novak Show on Facebook. And what I'm going to try to do is get that up on this week's show as well. Some of the sites are the Art Institute of Chicago, Columbus Park, Daly Plaza. Some of you have seen those, but some of you haven't, like Stephen Douglas Monument Park, Douglas Park, Exelon or Chase Park, Fort Sheridan, Fuller Park, Garfield Park Conservatory, Humboldt Park, IIT Campus, Jackson Park, Lake Forest Cemetery, Lincoln Park, Logan Square and Boulevard, Midway Plaisance, Millennium Park, Milton Lee, Olive Park, Sherman Park, Wicker Park, and one in particular that's really interesting, which is Washington Park. Now, Beth is going to be one of the tour guides for tours of Washington Park on the afternoon of June 11th. And she wrote a blog, and if you can get that tweeted up there, or put it on Facebook and Twitter if you can, Mark, too. I don't know if you got to that link. As soon as I get off of it, I'll send it to you. You know, Washington Park was the first park Frederick Law Olmsted and his partner Calvert Vaux, who knows, designed, you know, Oh, I thought you were going to correct me on that, Mark. Thanks. Designed and built in 1869 to 72, but there was a plan afoot earlier this year. Well, for instance, you know, when they were going to do the 2016 Olympics, that's where they were going to put the stadium. It seems like every time there's something where we need space, you know, it's kind of like talking to Benjamin Cox. Well, it's just wasted space. It's just Washington Park, right? It's just some ball fields there, you know. Let's put something really good there. That felt, you know, when the Olympics fell through, so the stadium wasn't there. Apparently this year there was another plan to put you just change the nature of the park completely. And Beth blogs about it at her blog site, Growing in Chicago, and how various agencies wanted to get together, there was a plan prepared by the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers to restore the Washington Park Lagoon as a wetland to create a bird habitat. Now, that's not so bad, except people use this park. Washington Park is an institution, and it was not designed to be a wetland. And it went, you know, there was a $3.8 million plan, and it wasn't as transparent as it could be, but the folks found out about it, and they got it stopped. And you can read more about that at Beth's blog, but the point is there's the tour next week, and that's one of the places that will be toured, and I wanted to make sure to get that information out. Again, it's the Cultural Landscape Foundation is holding a What's Out There weekend in Chicago, and the tour of Washington Park will be on 11th. You can say hi to Beth Botts. She'll take you through it. Ask her about that whole proposal to get the park changed from what it was. And so there you go. I hope you take advantage of that next weekend.
Beans and cornbread. Beans and cornbread. Beans and cornbread.
Sustainable Food Fundamentals is sponsored in part by Pearl Valley Eggs. Support an Illinois family farm that does it right. Insist on Pearl Valley Eggs where you shop.
That's you, Mark.
That voice sounded so nice. I was
so professional.
Like, who is that?
That's what I'm saying. Who is it? And why is he on my radio show? Let's go to line one and bring in Gina. Now, Gina, how do I pronounce your last name?
Letier.
Yeah. And she's a coordinator at the Center for Urban Environmental Research and Policy at Loyola University. And you guys are opening a farmer's market up at Loyola University on the north side of Chicago along the lake tomorrow, right?
Yes, indeed. It's very exciting.
It is. Now, I was trying to find out whether there are other universities out there that sponsor farmers markets, at least in the area, and I don't seem to know of any.
Right. I believe the University of Illinois at Chicago and the Hull House Museum had a farmers market last year, and I don't see them on the list for this year. So I believe we are the only one in the Chicago region from a university institution.
That's fab. Now, how did this come about?
About 2 years ago, the center's mission is to expand knowledge by teaching interdisciplinary education programs and conducting research and outreach on pressing environmental issues. And one of them is, you know, a couple of them, climate change, emerging environmental contaminants, and food systems. So in the spring of 2009, the center, this course, STEPS, Solutions to Environmental Problems, we started exposing the students to learn about food systems, the industrialized agriculture systems, and its impact on the environment, community, businesses. So the students, this is really student-driven, the farmers market, we're really calling for a farmers market to support small local growers and producers. So the students did a lot of the logistical footwork of planning and finding out where we could have it and what would be the guidelines for the growers and the producers at the market and just kind of the overall energy of it. And, so very much student-driven. Yeah.
And is it any different from other farmers markets? For one thing, don't you run into problems with the university in terms of finances and, you know, where does the money go and that sort of thing?
Right. Well, one of the things I will say is I do not have much overhead in managing the market. So, for example, this, because one, I wear a lot of different hats at the university. So as a staff member, I mentor students in various projects and staff. And the farmers market was something that, since I'm a farmers market shopper myself and try to abide by the seasonal calendar in the Midwest, I saw this as an opportunity, so to speak, to build it into my job description. So taking that on and being part of this with the students, so just the day-to-day helping the students plan was kind of my job as well. And so very little overhead in terms, you know, we have a student worker, a market assistant who's amazing, Kelsey, and she's been helping. And we have a lot of volunteers. And since it's on university property, I don't have a special permit to fill out with the city, which would have a fee.
Ah.
Yeah, yeah. And so, I mean, I worked with, spoke with the city of Chicago's permit special events department and submitted a letter of intent and let them know everything that was going on. So there's a lot of behind the scenes of making sure everybody knows what's going on. A little bit of marketing, you know, there's some overhead costs and a little bit of marketing. So it's pretty low cost, actually.
That's great.
For us. Yeah, it's been really inspiring to identify, you know, contacting the farmers, and we are the only Monday market in the city of Chicago.
I was going to mention that. It's like, I can't imagine anybody else was a Monday market. That's really great.
And, yeah.
And you go 3 to 7 p.m. on
correct,
Mondays.
Correct. And one of the things is that a large portion of the university members, you know, the community, faculty, staff, and students, were there Monday through Friday. And students, you know, are there. You know, the weekend market, I think some of the early hours, they're not necessarily getting out of bed to rush to a farmer's market. So
one what, college students? Are you kidding me? Of course they are.
So one of the things is we wanted to really have people to connect to where their food's coming from, seasonality in the Midwest, and to support the local food system.
That's just fabulous. I got to mention that you're the second market to open in the 49th Ward. Of course, the Glenwood Sunday Market, which was voted the most popular farmers market in Illinois, is there too. Of course, they're operating right now. They go from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. right at the Morse L stop at 6956 to 58 North Glenwood. So now Rogers Park has two farmers markets, one on Sunday. You miss it on Sunday, you come out there on Monday, and you go to Loyola. And I just think it's a terrific idea. So, Gina, thank you so much. Good luck tomorrow. I'm going to try to get up there and stop by the Loyola Farmers Market. Give us the exact address.
It's 6556 North Sheridan Road, so just a few doors north of the Loyola Red Line stop.
Fabulous. All right, I hope I see you up there sometime. Thanks for talking to us.
Thank you, Mike.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Beans and cornbread.
Sustainable Food Fundamentals is brought to you in part by Healthy Grow Lawn and Garden Food, part of the Pearl Valley Organics family. Learn more at healthygrow.com.
All right, we're out of time here. A couple of quick tweets. Somebody tweeted, does anything outside of nuclear winter kill hostas? The answer, can't even read who it is. No, the answer is no. And then if one had to mulch a volcano, wouldn't it be okay to volcano mulch? We'll find out. Go green or go home.
That's what beans had to cornbread. I'll be ready tomorrow night. Beans to cornbread, you ain't straight.